Good day to you. This is Kim Harden, and I am reading Southern Champaign County today for August 19th, 2026. Boy, have we had some rain, right? There's a picture on the front page. Storms blew through Southern Champaign County on Tuesday, August 11th, with high winds causing trees to break off and damage property, as well as destroy fencing in the backyards of homes near Unity High School in Tolono. More rain and flash flooding came on Thursday, August 13th, and Friday, August 14th. Social media posts from local neighbors complimented public works departments and people who helped get their chainsaws out in the cleanup effort. There's four pictures here, just trees and fences and all kinds of things just down on the ground. I hope you're staying dry and that we're dry today. Next, reflecting back on summer, as our community starts to get back to school, it's fun to reflect on some of our favorite summer moments as Reverend Deborah Slack from Tolono Presbyterian Church gave us this insight. Tolono Presbyterian Church hosted Summer Camp 2026 with the theme being Lava Lava Luau. 50 kids and 20 adults braved the heat and the big volcanoes inside the church building for 5 days. Fun was had by all as we learned more about our emotions and how to keep them under control. If we didn't, then they become like a volcano and erupt. On the last day, we learned what to do when others' emotions get out of control. We enjoyed snacks, crafts, music, and lots of activities as well. Pictures below are from camp. Beginning September 9th, our Wednesday Youth Night, WNY, is back. Every Wednesday this fall, we invite K through 8th graders to join us for dinner, activities, friends, and learning more about God. There's an online sign-up list on our Facebook page. We also will be hosting bi-monthly activities for young adults. Approximate age is 18 to 26 years old. So far, we have gone bowling and for pizza and played pickleball at the park. Anyone is welcome. We worship every Sunday at 10:30, and all ages worship together. Hope to see you soon. And then there's pictures of the Lava Lava Luau with kids in grass skirts, and it just looks like they had a lot of fun. Turning now to the South County Spotlight, all kinds of good things coming up in the community. Menards Pet Supplies Drive. Your local Menards Home Improvement Store is again serving as a drop site for a local humane association for 2 full months, August 1st through September 30th, 2026. We're pleased that we're able to participate in such a wonderful event as we hope to lend a helping hand to the community. Menards offers a wide variety of pet supplies that will be donated to a humane association, including food, treats, feeders, collars, beds, storage containers, mats, and so much more that can be found in the Pet and Wildlife Department for immediate donation. There's a large collection box near the exit door at Menards to place donations. Please contact Menards spokesperson Jeff Abbott at jabbott, A-B-B-O-T-T, at menard-inc.com or call 715-864-2658 for more information. Fun Day Committee Meeting, third Thursday of every month, Tolono Fun Day Committee Meeting, 6:30 at the police station. Tolono Food Pantries, every Monday from 5 until 6:30 and Friday 9 until 10:30 a.m. at the St. Patrick Catholic Charities, Tolono. Free food pantry located at the parish, providing fresh produce, meat, and pantry items, serving all of Champaign County. Every Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m., the Giving Place is open in Tolono to help families in need of food items. A caregivers group. If you are caring for a loved one, spouse, parent, child with a disability, etc., there is a caregivers group where people share experiences, suggestions, and resources. They meet at the Zest for Life Center in Villa Grove, 610 East Harrington, at 1:30 on the first Wednesday of each month. They are a free and informal group. If you have questions, text or leave a message at 217-369-7071. And finally, a story about by Jerry Nowicki about the Butter Cow. 2026 Butter Cow, Miles of Smiles, is the State Fair's theme in celebration of Route 66. From Springfield, the 2026 Butter Cow invites Illinois State Fairgoers to take a spin on Route 66 in honor of the Mother Road's centennial. The Grand Marshal for the fair's Twilight Parade this year is Route 66, and the fair's theme is Miles of Smiles as a send-up to the Mother Road. This year's cow is accompanied by a girl eating ice cream. A companion sculpture shows a dog and a scooter heading out on Route 66 adventure, per Governor J.B. Pritzker. It recognizes the 100th anniversary of that historic road that started right here in Illinois, Pritzker said. Route 66 was established in 1926, beginning in downtown Chicago and ending in Santa Monica, California. The Mother Road is also commemorated elsewhere on the fairgrounds via the Route 66 Experience, a self-guided educational exhibit located at Gate 2. Illinois is the birthplace of this iconic highway, and ours is the only fairgrounds in the nation to sit on Route 66, said Jerry Costello II, director of Illinois Department of Agriculture. Pritzker and Costello were joined by First Lady M.K. Pritzker, Fair Manager Rebecca Clark, Kendra Anderson of Midwest Dairy, and Illinois State Fair Queen Krista Phillips of Effingham. The Butter Cow will remain on display in the Dairy Building throughout the fair, which opens at 7 a.m. Thursday with the annual Twilight Parade scheduled for 5:30 p.m. that day. The fair runs through August 23rd from 7 a.m. until midnight each day. The sculpture is made of 800 pounds of unsalted butter spread across a wire frame. As was the case in previous years, much of the butter is recycled, meaning that it is reused each year rather than discarded. It was sculpted again once in by Iowan Sarah Pratt. Grandstand tickets are sold separately from fair entry. This year's lineup includes, on the 14th, Bailey Zimmerman with Jake Worthington. On the 15th, Lainey Wilson with Tiger Lily Gold. On the 16th, Matchbox 20 with Grace Enger. On the 17th, 38 Special with Warrant. On the 18th, Ziggy Marley with Skip Marley. On the 19th, so tonight, Wiz Khalifa with Big Boy. On the 20th, the Abbott Brothers with Drive By Truckers and Hunter Flynn. On the 21st will be Ella Langley with E.R. Nest. On the 22nd, the Chicks with Calder Allen. And on the 23rd, Shinedown with From Ashes to New. Entry is free for children age 12 and under throughout the fair. Adults age 13 to 59 pay $10 on Fridays and Saturdays and $5 Sunday through Thursday. Entry is $3 for those age 60 and over, and parking is $5. Veterans and their immediate families get free entry on August 16th. Seniors and scouts can enter for free on the 17th. The first responders and healthcare workers can enter for free on August 21st, all with proper ID. As for political events, Governor's Day is scheduled for Wednesday, August 19th, with Republican Day the following day. You can follow the State Fair on Facebook, X, and Instagram, or find more on the State Fair website, which is also home to a Butter Cow live stream. That Route 66 trip is definitely on my bucket list. Let's turn to the Philo Public Library news. I've seen some very happy kids come into the library this past week. They're excited about the start of a new school year and seeing their school friends again. There are, of course, the opposite glum looks also, but I hope that the majority of students are smiling. School days may seem boring to some of these kids, but in the future, I hope they look back on friendships made, things learned, and people who influenced them, and that they smile too. As I mentioned last week, we have the St. Thomas reading books, which are available for checkout. These are to the east of the checkout desk and have spine labels indicating St. Thomas reading and age groups to make it easier for people to find the materials. Someone asked me last week if they were required reading. My understanding is that the teachers, librarians recommend these books for the students and that each class has a reading list that should clarify what is expected. If not, please ask. We have joined the McNaughton Book Distributors and are now receiving 10 new books per month from them. Most are fiction, but there are a few nonfiction included in the selected list. If you see a book that has a green label on the bottom of the spine, this is one of their books. One last thing for today. If you are a member of a book club and you know what books are going to be discussed in the next week or month, if you give us a few days' notice as to what the next books will be, we can check and see if the book is in the system and request it. And speaking of book clubs, BYOB meets on September 1st at 6 p.m. in Philo Library. The group has added new members, and I understand everyone is enjoying the books discussed and a chance to get to know their neighbors better. All are welcome. Come and see if this is the right book club for you. Thanks for reading. And Ann Roten writes from the Sydney Scoop. The Sydney American Legion Post 433 regular monthly meeting should have taken place on August 17th. Look for a report from your correspondent in the next week's edition of the Southern Champaign County Today's paper. It's hard to believe that Unit 7 schools started for grades 1 through 12 on August 18th, and that school will be starting for kindergarten on August 19th. Labor Day will soon be here on Monday, September 7th. This year is passing by so quickly. The next regular monthly meeting of the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees will take place on Tuesday, September 8th at 7 o'clock in the Sydney Community Building located at 211 East Main Street in Sydney due to the Labor Day holiday. All monthly meetings, unless otherwise posted, are held in the Sydney Community Building meeting room. Friday, September 11th is Patriot Day and the National Day of Service and Remembrance as we remember the 2,977 victims who lost their lives after hijackers associated with the extremist group Al-Qaeda seized four commercial airplanes 25 years ago on September 11th, 2001. Two planes hit the World Trade Center towers in New York City, one hit the Pentagon near Washington, D.C., and a fourth crashed in a rural Pennsylvania field after the passengers and crew fought off the hijackers. Have a wonderful week. If you or your organizations have news items you want published, drop a line to Ann Roten at P.O. Box 491 Sydney 61877 or call 217-688-2812 between 8 and 5. Don't hesitate to leave a message if there's no answer. News items must be turned in by 10 a.m. each Friday to be published in the following week's paper. Items submitted after the deadline will be published in the following week's columns. Programs for everyone at the library. Back to the library. School started this week, and we have all of the afternoon programs for your school-age children. Every Wednesday, teens can join us for the Teen Make Lab. This program is a designated space for teens grades 6 to 12 to express themselves through art and creation. We provide the tools, and teens can use the time for camaraderie to let their creativity loose. Similarly, Youth Tinker Club takes place every other Friday. This Friday, August 21st, kids grade 1 to 5 can come put their creative minds to use in our makerspace tools. For your younger kids, weekly story time with sensory bends continues this Friday at 10 a.m. Remember that anyone is welcome to attend any of our library programs regardless of if they have a Tolono library card or not. However, any child age 5 to 18 who lives in the Unit 7 school district is eligible with their parent's signature to receive a library card from the Tolono Public Library regardless of what town they live in. The student card is free and can be renewed yearly. Also, because we are part of the Illinois Heartland Library System, Philo and Sydney cards can also be used at the Tolono Library. For a complete list of programs and services we offer, be sure to check out our website at tolonolibrary.org. Taking a look at the OSF piecemeal menu, here is the Sydney, Homer, Philo, Tolono, Sedoris, and Pisodum piecemeal menu for Thursday, August 20th, through Wednesday, August 26. On Thursday the 20th, tuna noodle salad with celery and peas, grapes, strawberry fluff, wheat roll served with butter or margarine, and half a pint of milk. On Friday the 21st, pork tenderloin with a bun, tater tots, green beans, fruit cup, and half a pint of milk. Saturday, BLT wrap, mixed fruit, tortilla shell, orange fluff, and half a pint of milk. Sunday, the 23rd, OSF piecemeal is closed. Monday, August 24th, fried chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, green beans, wheat bread served with butter or margarine and a half a pint of milk. Tuesday, the 25th, corn dog, baby baker's asparagus, fruit cup, and half a pint of milk. Wednesday, the 26th, OSF piecemeal is closed. OSF piecemeal provides seniors age 60 and older with a nutritious lunch Monday through Saturday, and we are closed on Sunday and Wednesday. There's a suggested donation of $4 for each meal. However, no senior will be denied a meal because of inability to financially contribute. The Illinois Link Card is accepted form of payment. For more information, please go to www.osfhealthcare.org/osfpeace-meal or call 1-309-665-5900. The Homer Piecemeal Congregate site is at Homer Village Hall, located at 500 East 2nd Street. It is currently carry-out only. For reservations, please call 1-309-665-5900. Home delivery in Southern Champaign County is currently available in Sidney, Homer, Philo, Tolono, Sadorus, and Posoda. Meal substitutions may occur due to global supply chain shortages, but a nutritious meal is always guaranteed. The OSF piecemeal menu is submitted by OSF Piecemeal Senior Nutrition Program by Ann Roden. Taking a look at state news, Ben Zelensky writes, Illinois will not change child vaccine guidelines after Trump executive order. The Illinois Department of Public Health is not adopting new federal child vaccine guidelines, which will continue following recommendations by a leading pediatric medical group. President Trump signed an executive order on Monday that calls for giving the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, better known as MMR, in three separate shots at three different appointments. It also lowers recommendations for several vaccines such as hepatitis A and B, meningococcal disease, the flu, and COVID-19 into recommended for certain high-risk groups or based on shared clinical decision-making rather than for all children. It advises states to follow what Trump calls the gold standard childhood vaccine recommendations and update laws to reflect it. Even as the order calls for revised recommendations, states, not the federal government, have the authority to require vaccinations for school children. Governor J.B. Pritzker said in a statement, the executive order is a thoughtless piece of paper that does not reverse decades of research and scientific evidence about protecting kids, American Academy of Pediatrics recommendations. Instead, Illinois will continue following guidelines outlined by the American Academy of Pediatrics, which is the state's immunization advisory committee, previously unanimously adopted in February. The Illinois Department of Public Health is committed to ensuring Illinois residents have reliable access to vaccines and guidance supported by the most up-to-date science, IDPH Director Dr. Samir Vohra said in a statement. IDPH will continue to be guided by science and work closely with clinical and community leaders to provide recommendations that allow Illinoisans to make the best choice to keep themselves and their families safe and healthy. Those guidelines recommend children receive the hepatitis B series, at least one COVID-19 and flu shot, first dose of MMR, and two doses of hepatitis A by the time they turn two. They recommend children receive a second MMR dose between ages 4 and 6 and receive an annual flu and COVID shots after turning two. Vohra said he is especially concerned about the order calling for splitting the MMR vaccine into multiple visits, which he says is not supported by science. Public health experts have raised concerns that spacing out shots, like Trump suggests, can lead to an increased risk that children become infected with a vaccine-preventable disease before returning for another visit. Childhood vaccines and how and when to give them in combination go through rigorous studies, and safety tracking continues for years as the shots are used. Speaking about the order at the Oval Office on Monday, Trump repeatedly suggested the number or timing of vaccines should play a role in rising rates of autism spectrum disorder, even as scientific consensus and decades of studies have firmly concluded there is no link. Several changes to the childhood vaccine schedule have already been attempted by the Trump administration, but have been blocked by a federal judge. Illinois specific actions. Illinois has taken several steps since Trump and Health Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. took office and set their sights on changing the nation's vaccine policies to conform to their views. Pritzker signed a new state law in December which allows IDPH to create more of its own vaccine guidelines for Illinoisans. Pritzker signed a similar executive order in September. The law also required state-regulated insurance companies to cover vaccines recommended by IDPH. Federal changes to stop recommending some vaccines made it more likely some insurance companies would stop covering certain shots for people who still wanted them. Zelensky reported from Springfield on Illinois' actions. The Associated Press contributed reporting on the president's actions and news and conference to this story. Also in state news from Springfield, Illinois becomes the 13th state to enact ELISA's law expanding school safety protections. Make Our Schools Safe celebrates Illinois' passage of ELISA's law. From August 14th. Make Our Schools Safe, or MOSS, MOSS, the leading national school safety nonprofit organization in the U.S., joined Senator Michael Hastings, Representative Debbie Myers-Martin, Representative Robert Rita, Representative Anthony DeLuca, along with several local and community leaders, in announcing the passage of House Bill 5107, marking Illinois the 13th state to pass a version of ELISA's law. This legislation requires all Illinois school districts to consider implementing a mobile panic alert system to instantly notify law enforcement during on-site emergencies. When an emergency hits a school, seconds can mean the difference between life and death, says Illinois State Senator Michael Hastings. ELISA's law ensures Illinois schools can equip staff with mobile panic alert systems that provide a direct, silent link to 911 and trigger rapid campus-wide response. As a parent, I will always fight for the practical steps that protect our children. This is about giving every teacher and every student the best chance when it matters most. HB 5107 is partly named in honor of ELISA Ahaldef, one of 17 victims of the 2018 Marjorie Stoneman Douglas high school shooting. The bill reflects years of advocacy by ELISA's parents and the founders of Make Our Schools Safe, Lori and Dr. Elon Ahaldef, who have championed ELISA's law as a bipartisan national standard for school safety. This passage is significant. We are showing real momentum toward protecting students nationwide, said ELISA's mother, Lori. This is ELISA's legacy, and I'm grateful to the leadership of Illinois for advancing it. If a school implements ELISA's law, it ensures real-time coordination between local and state first responder agencies. Protecting our school communities is one of the most critical responsibilities we carry as lawmakers, said Representative Syed. By advancing ELISA's law, Illinois is ensuring schools have the life-saving tools they need to respond in an emergency and and protect both students and educators. Illinois is the 13th state to pass ELISA's law, joining Florida, New Jersey, New York, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Louisiana, Georgia, Washington, Virginia, and West Virginia. We congratulate Senator Hastings, Representative Syed, Make Our Schools Safe, and the many educators, public safety professionals, advocates, and policymakers whose collaboration made this milestone possible, said Sylvia Ift, co-founder and executive director of the National Institute of School Safety. Policy. Now our focus turns to implementation. Together we are committed to ensuring this legislation delivers real improvements for schools, first responders, and the communities they serve. Had my daughter's school had this technology in place, ELISA might still be with us today, said Lori. her mother. Through Alyssa's Law, we honor her memory and commit ourselves to protecting classrooms in Illinois and nationwide. A similar federal version of Alyssa's Law is before Congress, Alyssa's Act, H.R. 6809. And we'll wind up with Millie Ott's column today. I still don't like winter, only dignity hurt. Ye have heard that it hath been, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not the publicans the same? And that's from Matthew 5:43, 44, 45, and 46. It's Tuesday already. Why does it seem the days go so fast? And yet Friday seems to be so long in coming. And did you notice already daylight comes later? The bright early mornings are so fleeting. My husband thinks maybe winter is better. Then he isn't so sweaty, and he can get his clothes off easier. This is true about the clothes, but I still don't like winter. Oh well, I don't want to dwell on that now. I want to think happy thoughts, not dreary winter ones. As today, so far, it is pleasant. It is sort of overcast, but we have a nice breeze, and today started out much better than yesterday. I tell you, I didn't know you would get to work yesterday or not. When I went out to chore, Diamond was lying down. He looked at me like, hey, go away, don't bother me. He heaved a great sigh and stretched out, making no effort to get up. Somehow, I could almost relate. Okay, I came in, got hubby up, and that was somewhat easier. I went out three more times, each time, same story. The last time, finally, he was on his four feet, and I still had to lead him in. Not a good start for a Monday. This morning he was on his feet, came in slowly, but at least he came in. This type of thing happens kind of often lately. I wonder what will happen when another horse is in his space, which will be quite soon now. Lloyds and I were working over the apartment last night. Rachel was cleaning windows, I was washing woodwork, and Lloyd putting up curtain rod brackets. I was crawling on the floor, cleaning the baseboard, and Lloyd was on the step stool. He stepped down just as I was right behind him. Fortunately, both of us, he didn't step on me. Later, I took his step stool to clean the closet shelves, so he grabbed a folding chair to stand on. Not a good idea. The chair seat gave, and Lloyd crashed to the floor. He was not hurt, except his dignity. The chair was by far in worse shape, being rendered completely useless. But we have the bedroom done, and as soon as I get this project wrapped up, I want to go clean the windows and the spare bedroom and mop the floor. They want to move in the bedroom furniture yet this week. I also want to clean the fridge. The easy stuff is almost done. Why did we do that first? This will be a change that I have not quite processed yet. It will be okay, I'm sure. In closing, the best way to face life's changes is to look at the unchanging God. Note to self. How about this casserole today? And she writes about an enchilada casserole. Sounds delicious. 1.5 pounds hamburger, 1 chopped onion, 1 can 10-ounce enchilada sauce, 1 can cream of mushroom soup, 1 can cream of chicken soup, 1 cup milk, 1 package tortillas. Brown the hamburger and onion, add the enchilada sauce, soups, and milk. Layer the meat mixture with torn tortillas in a greased 9x13 pan, beginning and ending with the sauce. Sprinkle with cheese, cover and bake at 350 for 1 hour, uncover the last 10 minutes. Flour or corn tortillas can be used. Dave Leake from In the Night Sky tells us that Venus is losing altitude. Venus reached its greatest separation from the Sun, elongation, on August the 14th, so it will begin to slowly lose altitude night by night as it heads back sunward. You'll also notice Venus will appear more to the west-southwest due to the angle of planet's orbit makes with our horizon. It will seem to approach the star Spica, coming closest to it on September 1st. The moon reaches first quarter phase this evening. This is a great time to observe it with a telescope if you have one. Note how low the moon is. This is roughly where the sun is during our winter months. Tomorrow evening, the moon is situated very near the reddish star Antares, the heart of our celestial scorpion. Look in the south-southwest. We'll have a full moon next week and a prime-time lunar eclipse. Come back next week, and I'll tell you how and when to see it. Okay, that's it for me today. This is Kim Harden signing off for Southern Champaign County today, August 19th, 2026. Make it a great day. Until next time.